counting seconds after midnight. Oh, here my breath is the only thing. And there's a sweetness still that lingers, as though I never watched you. Should I write a requiem, or will I get to tell you that? Oh, I was honed in back, waiting for the words to say that I've been broken down, from ready to be all again. And I was honed, hoping that you would stay. Oh, from this second story window, I see your face in the passersby.
That's Canadian singer-songwriter Noah Dirksen with Hoping You Would Stay from his new album. It's entitled America Dreaming. It's actually an album that came out in three parts. Part three was just released, and Noah is in the studio with us in Leamington today with the full album. And of course, playing live in the studio is just the best thing. It's great to have you join us today.
Good to be here, Jan. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've got a pretty interesting story, because you're actually a dual citizen. You're American and Canadian.
Yeah.
I think your mother is American, right?
Yeah, that's right. So my mom was born and raised in Ohio, and my dad's from Winnipeg. And so they had met at some point in time overseas and relocated to Winnipeg. So I, by birth, have been obligated to file and pay American taxes, not just Canadian taxes, but also U.S. taxes, as being an American citizen and as well as a Canadian citizen.
But you pretty much lived in Winnipeg all your life, haven't you?
Yeah, so I grew up in Winnipeg. I was born in Winnipeg. My parents like to say that I was conceived in the States. They tell me that, which is horrifying for a teenage boy to hear. Yeah, so I grew up in Winnipeg. I went through high school in Winnipeg. And then when I was 18, I moved out west. I moved to Vancouver and started studying an undergraduate degree at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver.
So when did you get into music?
I started playing guitar when I was 10. I was forced to take piano lessons from age 5 on, and like any good child, you resent it. And so my agreement, my arrangement with my parents was I could quit the piano if I picked up the guitar. So I took a year or two of guitar lessons and then kind of played on my own for a number of years. And in around second year university, when I was 19, 20, I realized I could do this by myself in my dorm room forever, or I could try to take that next step. So that was the point where I decided I wanted to get out there and start performing at open mics. I went to a Leonard Cohen concert actually when I was 19. I was back home in Winnipeg for a short period of time, and it was Leonard Cohen's last time that he performed in Winnipeg. But so I had second row seats, and I watched Leonard Cohen perform, and I had listened to some of his songs over the years. But that just gave me an appreciation for the art of songwriting and the art of lyricism and poetry. And so from that point on, I started writing my own songs and workshopping them and then bringing them out into the university open mic scene at UBC.
So you have 3 albums, I think, so far. America, yeah. Dreaming is the third one.
Yeah, yeah. That...
Have you always been a singer-songwriter, or were you in a band before?
You know what? No, I never was. I started off my music career, I'd asked a friend in Vancouver if he wanted to sit down for coffee and chat about music, because I knew he was doing some music stuff. And so he had convinced me somehow, instead of going for coffee, that I should come jam with his band. And he needed a second guitarist / percussion player. And I couldn't keep rhythm with sticks at all, but still he gave me the job. And so we rehearsed for about a month. And then we had a conversation where he politely said he would love to support me in what I do from a distance. but I've always been a singer-songwriter, haven't played in any other bands.
So this album, America Dreaming, was recorded with Murray Pulver in Winnipeg, great producer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I met Murray through my cousin Jaylene Johnson, who had recorded with him and just around the Winnipeg scene. And so she introduced me to Murray, and I thought it was just a great fit based on what Murray's work with the brothers Landreth, with Joey Landreth, Ariel Posen. And it seemed like a great fit for where I wanted to head. So this was the first album that I had actually worked with a more formal producer. The previous two albums I had produced myself with a little bit of help from the engineer that I was working with in Vancouver. And then this was the album where I opened up to more collaboration and getting Murray's stamp on it. Yeah, really shaped it into what it's turned out to be and what I was hoping for.
So this album's interesting because, you know, with the title America Dreaming, I mean, it really focuses on some of your travels in the U.S. I know you've lived in a variety of different places. I think Nashville and New York amongst them.
So the album America Dreaming, America, Dreaming, it plays on, I guess, the American dream. As we've talked about, I grew up with family in the States. And so we went back and forth to Ohio, back to Winnipeg and crossed the border quite a bit. And I had always identified with that American side of me. And growing up, I think I had this unrealistic idea of what America was, of what it was as a country, and thinking that they have everything sorted out, that it's a land of freedom, land of opportunity, in all accounts. And over kind of the last few years, I've spent more time. I lived in the States for a bit. I lived in Portland, Oregon for a short time. I've toured a lot more in the States, throughout the Midwest, throughout the East Coast. I've taken songwriting trips. And I've just maybe realized the practical limitations in accessibility to this freedom and to all this opportunity. So realizing the pros and the cons, although it has, as a nation, yeah, quite a bit of innovation, the accessibility to that innovation and that opportunity in practical sense is not that great. So that's all the songs were written during that time of kind of discovering this, and also time spent in different parts of the States. And so that is that's the concept behind America Dreaming. And for this album, I did something a little different. I opened myself up to more collaboration. So on previous albums, everything I had kind of kept it constrained with the production, with the other instrumentalists, the musicians that played on the album, where I would take more of a rein on writing the parts and getting them to play it. So for this album altogether, I realized I'm wanting to open myself up more to collaboration and the idea that I'll be able to take different perspectives and it'll just increase the quality and it'll show me a different way to approach music and approach this form of art. So songwriting was something that I was really wanting to expand my horizons with. So I got together with a few different songwriters in Winnipeg and workshopped a few different songs. So Hoping You Would Stay was a product of one of these workshopping sessions with Jaylene Johnson, Juno Award nominated songwriter and musician from Winnipeg as well, and then Jordan St. Cyr from Winnipeg. And so the three of us sat in Jaylene's basement. I presented a few different ideas and they latched on to this one and we workshopped it and then it came out the other side.
How did you find the whole collaboration idea? I mean, because some people, you know, they like the idea, but then suddenly when it comes to that point of actually getting together and starting to work on songs, suddenly realize it's a lot harder than
it's terrifying. It's terrifying, absolutely. Yeah, songwriting is typically something that it's a form of individual expression. At least that's how it starts. So for me, it started very localized, me sitting in my basement or my dorm room by myself. And it's these innermost thoughts and feelings that I've had kind of pent up. And so the songwriting process is, in essence, getting that out. And so opening that process up to another individual is an exceptionally terrifying and vulnerable thing where you're putting yourself out there and you're showing, this is how I view the world. This is how I see the world. And then having them comment on that and critique it and adjust things. So it's definitely taken quite a bit of practice to get comfortable in that setting. For me, the saving grace with it all is listening back to those earlier demos of the song in its collaborative form. And the song just turned out to be much, much, much better, quite frankly.
So I guess it's really important from your point of view to have a good demo when you're going into that collaboration.
Yeah, rather than
going in without any idea.
Yeah, I've done it in a few different ways. I find the songs that I've ended up using have all been true to me in that I've had this idea and then bring it together to these other songwriters, workshop it a bit, and then I kind of take that back and adjust it a little more from that point on. So that ultimately still gives me that sense of control that this is kind of this is a thing that I'm going to have to put my stamp on, have to put my name on. So I need to be very kind of certain, very sure of every single aspect of it. So there's always going to be that editing and that process. But opening that up is, I think, an important step to getting to reaching that next level as a songwriter or of an individual song.
You've got your guitar with you. You've already played one live song for us. How about we play another one? What are you going to play for us this time?
I'm going to play a song called Lonely in America. It's another one off the new album.
This is Noah Dirksen with Lonely in America, live in the studio for Folk Roots Radio.
Last fall, I took a trip down in New York City for the first time. The intention was to park myself in Brooklyn in this Airbnb for 2 weeks and write a bunch of new songs for this new album that I had scheduled to record. And so I got to New York City and I realized that New York is a massive, massive place and that I know absolutely nobody in it. So my productivity for the time that I was there, I wrote about 5 different songs and they were all called Lonely in America. So this is the one that stuck.
I took a trip down to New York City to find me a girl who's looking oh so pretty. Instead, I was blinded by neon signs and buildings interrupting the sky. So there I sat on a subway train. It took me there, I thought it'd take me back again. I see a man who's looking oh so blue. I said, hey man, what's the matter with you? Oh, it's lonely in America, that's what he said to me. Oh, I've been looking for salvation, but that ain't free. Oh, it's lonely. listened to him for 20 minutes and I couldn't help thinking of rags and riches. But then came time for the end of the line. As he went left, I went right. I walk it across a parking lot. It's a shortcut to save me a couple of blocks. There's a woman sitting down with her head in her hands. I asked her, make me understand how it's lonely in America. That's what she said to me. Oh, I've been looking for salvation, but that ain't for. Oh, it's lonely in America, and that's the way it's always been. Sometimes the lonely gets to me. South and now it's turned back around, and I'm grateful for where I'm from. Now send me on home with the setting sun. How it's lonely in America, that's what I've come to see. Oh, if you're looking for salvation, well, that ain't free. Oh, God, it's lonely in America, and that's the way it'll always be. And now the loneliness got to me. And now the loneliness got to me.
That's Noah Dirksen with Lonely in America, live in the studio for Folk Roots Radio today. Noah's our special guest. He's actually on tour. He's been in Guelph last night. He's on his way to Detroit and then into the U.S. on tour. So you must find it pretty easy with the border then, because you have both passports?
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I enter Canada, I give them my Canadian passport, and whenever I enter the States, I give them my American passport. And even though I live in Winnipeg, so I live in Canada and very much identify as a Canadian, as soon as I hand them my American passport, they say, welcome home, sir.
So tell us about the live show. I mean, most of the time, are you playing solo?
You know what? Not so much anymore. So I've been touring with other musicians. So the last few weeks through Ontario, and for the last few years, for all my Ontario shows and tours, I've played with a violin player based out of Toronto by the name of Elise Burr from Juno-nominated band Aerialists. We met at a conference a few years ago, and so she's been joining me for all of the Ontario dates. We have a bass player, Tim Jackson from Ottawa, that joins in on a few shows as well. And then in Winnipeg, I'll have a different selection of players. Yeah, so I rarely tour solo. For this next section of the journey, I'll be joined by a vocalist from BC named Abby Whale. She's the one that sang all across the new album. Helped me write one of the songs on it, actually. I started off touring solo for a number of years, and then as the live show and as the, I guess, the fan base has increased, I've been able to add other musicians.
Now, the album you did put out in three parts, mm-hmm. which is interesting because that seems to be very much the nature of music these days. You know, you really, it's not about the album as much as it ever used to be. People are putting out more singles. And I guess putting an album out in three parts is almost like three EPs. How do you feel that worked out for you?
I feel it worked well. It worked as I intended. So ultimately, I wanted to have this bigger piece of art of this album, that where you can tell a story. And by listening to it, you can really get a sense of the artist and their mindset. And it does show a depth in order to have 11 high-quality written songs and high-quality production. And with that being said, I wanted people to listen to it. And so putting it out in its full form right off the bat, people tend to only get through three or four songs. Max. So I wanted to find a way, because I'm proud of every single song on this album, and I wanted to find a way to get people to listen through and to be able to hold their attention for just a moment. And so the way I did that was to release it in three distinct parts. So I released part one in March 2019, and part two, another three-song EP released in July, and then the full album just came out here at the beginning of October. Yeah, so I think it worked out. It served its purpose. It's people have come along at every step of the way. Every single release has been accompanied by different tour dates, and some radio stations have been really friendly. And so people have heard the music as the train continues along. And so the idea that there's this bigger purpose, and there's this bigger project at work.
So the album's out now, you're touring it. Do you foresee that you'll probably spend the next year or so on this? Or do you have ideas about getting back in the studio to record some more stuff?
I have ideas for sure. Yeah. I will be touring this for the next year. To be honest, I'm always on the road. I've been touring since I graduated university 3.5 years ago. Yeah, I played close to 300 shows or so. So I've been all over the place, and that's not gonna stop. So this tour takes me through the Midwest of the states. So from here through Michigan, through Illinois, through Wisconsin, through Minneapolis, Minnesota, and then I come back and hit up the East Coast of the states. And so the intention is to continue growing the live show and the live fan base. So in the new year, I'll be back through in January, back through the Midwest of the states, have dates booked in February 2020 through BC again. And at some point in the summer, I'll come back in fall and come back through Ontario again and do it all over, and then continue to try to expand.
And I think that you probably, as a singer-songwriter, working on new songs all the time, that maybe you'll try out on the road?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there have already been a few songs that we've incorporated into the live set. And we take our diligent notes as to what people think of it, how people respond, the length and the volume of the applause after the song. And if it meets a certain threshold, then we'll continue to play it. And if not, well, then it's lost.
On.
Yeah, lost in the ether.
It's been great to have you join us today. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
NoahDirksen.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff. But NoahDirksen.com is going to be the most concentrated place to find information.
And I'm really pleased to see how well you're working your career. I mean, I think that's just really important, especially, again, with the way the industry has changed, you know. Mm-hmm. Social media is hugely important to try and engage your fan base and grow it. So,
well, I am a millennial, so I do try my best.
I know. It's always funny when I'm explaining that to millennials. Yes, yeah. Yeah, we already get that.
It's a way of life, Jan.
You have one song left to play us today. What are you going to play?
I'm going to play a song. It was actually the first song that was written on the album. So I've had it for a couple of years. It's called What Kind of Love Is That?
This is Noah Dirksen with What Kind of Love Is That, from his great new album, America Dreaming. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Jan. About 3 years ago, I did the thing that, as a traveling folk musician, at some point in your career you must do, and that's buy a really oversized van from the 1990s. And so I bought a Ford Econoline Club Wagon 1992 edition with a raised roof, and I took out the wheelchair lift. I equipped it with hardwood floors, a kitchen sink, kitchen countertop, a bed, and some mood lighting for good measure. And I traveled around in this. I lived in this for about 2 years, and I toured up and down the west coast of the states. And this was very early in my career. The shows weren't particularly well attended or professional or really morale boosters in any account. And so I had a lot of time. I was just touring solo, and I had a lot of time in between shows to go back to my van and to just think about what I'm doing and dwell on that fact and think about why it is that I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do. So this song's about how life as a traveling folk musician doesn't always go the way you plan. It's called What Kind of Love Is That?
Town, while I'm stuck in the here and now, losing all the right words to say, holding on to hopelessness, still hoping that that hold might stick. What's a little wool to keep my eyes closed? What kind of love is that? Display to you your weakness. What kind of love is that to make you weep? What kind of love is that? It opens up and closes, holding up your brokenness intact. But see that love. Dancing in this rented room, okay, I forgot my dancing shoes, but what is it to you if I can? The birds, they sing inside my head, but I cannot put the tune to pen. I'm making noise, I must be making something. What kind of love is that? Display to you your weakness. What kind of love is that to make you weep? What kind of love is that? It opens up and closes, I'm holding up your brokenness intact. But see there.